Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm John Ramos, and welcome to VFN TV and the Daily VFN Radio Program. We're excited to be with you every day on the Gulf Coast and, of course, on VFN Radio. We want to give a special shout-out to all of our viewers on TTN Christian Television Network, and of course those that are listening all around the nation and the world. Here to encourage you is Pat Hamilton.
Hello there.
Hello. Like that. And Steve Kalishewski.
See that he gave you the eyebrow there.
Yeah.
Good day, sir.
Good day. Good day. We are two programs back to back. Don't forget you can catch us always at VFNTV.com. And of course we have many different ways that you can connect with us on Facebook, social media, and of course on The Torch. We're going to be talking about several things today, and one of those things is this prophetic book put together by Jonathan Kahn. He was the author of The Harbinger, if you remember, and that was a New York Times bestseller. My goodness, I mean, it detailed 9/11, sycamore tree, all these things that were in the scriptures in the book of Isaiah, and today, I mean, I don't know how many harbingers. The word harbinger means a warning, but
like there were nine, maybe?
I think so, but all of them in the scriptures, and we're seeing them today in our day, absolutely amazing. But he wrote a second book, just came out, and he says it wasn't his intention to write the second book. But
I don't think the first one was.
Yeah, but God had
That's
another
how Revelation
plan.
Comes.
Yeah, it's called Shemitah, and it's about the coming financial collapse. And this is something that is shown in the Word of God and repeatedly, and he connects dates and everything.
Oh, wow.
And you're going to be encouraged by it, because not by the collapse itself, but the fact that God speaks about all things. God is ultimately in control. And if you're not participating in God's economy, this is a good time to begin with such a small percentage, according to George Barna, actually honoring God in the tithe and the offering. You want to make sure that you do that, begin that today, because everything that can be shaken will be shaken. And now you're starting to hear, we're starting to hear the same thing in chorus, if you will. We're also going to be talking about a documentary movie called The Pink Room. The Pink Room, it's a movie that highlights sex trafficking and human trafficking in Cambodia. And it's going to bring you some information you may have not known, and it's hopefully give you a burden to pray for all those that are still in slavery today. There's so many children and women in slavery. In fact, more than any time in the world's history, they're being enslaved. And I know, Steve, you're going to be talking to us about the equipping of the saints, some of the things that the Lord showed you in Rick Joyner's book, The Harvest. We have so much to share. We want to jump right to it. Also, Daniel Reinhardt Bunke is doing a crusade in North Carolina, and souls are coming to Jesus every day. And I want to tell you, if you haven't had the opportunity to share the love of God with someone, make it a point. Do that today. Maybe it's the woman at the checkout stand. Maybe it's the person where you go get your gas, or maybe you got to go to a doctor's office. Listen, we have to be ready to share why we have the hope. People are looking every day at situations on their news screens, or they're seeing things happen before their eyes, and they're walking around hopeless because they don't know Jesus. We're believers. We know him. We have a reason to have joy in the midst of great trial, because it's the joy of the Lord that's our strength. God is the one that carries us, and guess what? If we've read our Bible, we know how the story ends.
We read the end.
We know the end of the book. We know what happens. And so I want to encourage you today, reach out to someone that's hurting. Reach out to someone who doesn't know God and introduce them to him. Let him be their best friend. I like to say that we're just matchmakers, connecting people with Jesus and letting them fall in love, you know? But I want to go ahead and jump right into, if we can, this interview with Jonathan Kahn, as he begins to talk about it. Actually, we don't have time. When we get back from the break, we're going to talk about it. We're going to let you see it, but it's an amazing interview as he begins to detail more about Shemitah when we get right back from the break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. Three convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
The $50 Eye Guy here with some eye-tastic news. Now, two locations to better serve you, so when buying your next pair of eyeglasses,
come see my dad, the $50 Eye Guy.
Holidays can be lonely days for singles. On today's Focus on the Family Minute, Lisa Anderson gives her personal perspective of hope.
A couple years ago, I realized that, practically speaking, I am no one's most important person. That is a hard place to be, and I get emotional thinking about it. And to recognize, especially for women who want to be loved and want to be cherished and want to be chosen, to not be that person and to not have that is very difficult and is very hard to wrestle with. And it's okay to say that we want to be married while at the same time recognizing that God has our back, He has our story, He knows what's what. For some reason, I am not yet married, but it does not mean that I've given up hope.
If you're feeling alone, know that God has chosen you and has a plan for you. You'll find more encouragement from Lisa for your single journey when you stop by boundless.org.
It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, that just partner on a monthly basis, to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation. And this nation, by God's grace, to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve. And we're getting ready to talk about Shemitah. And this is is a Sabbath year. In the Sabbath year, there's an agricultural cycle that's mandated by the Torah. We're supposed to give the land rest. Mm-hmm. And we're going to find out that if you don't rest, you will rest.
One way or the other.
You are going,
chosen.
Yeah, you're going to rest. And we want you to listen as Pat Robinson interviews Jonathan Kahn, and he begins to detail and how he got this revelation and some of the things that are about to come. Really exciting, to say the least. You want to be aware. Watch this.
And fall of nations, economic recession, financial collapse, and your future. Take a look.
The crash of the New York Stock Exchange. The Great Depression, the attacks of 9/11, are all events that were predicted centuries ago. Jonathan Kahn says that the scriptures are in line with these events and are determining America's financial future. His book, The Mystery of the Shemitah, explains these revelations and shares the secrets to achieving economic prosperity in America.
Jonathan Kahn is here with us today. Jonathan, I'm so glad to see you again.
Great to be back, Pat.
God bless you.
My blessing.
I love the Harbinger. It was right on point. It was so dramatic and did so well. Now you've written one called The Mystery of the, what is it, Shemitah?
Yes.
What is the Shemitah?
The Shemitah, and this is a book I didn't plan to write.
Okay.
But it just, there's so much in it. The Shemitah is one of the mysteries that begins with the Harbinger. And it is one that is literally determined the rise and fall of Wall Street, the rise and fall of nations. It is coming soon. The next one is coming, right. is happening. It has affected our lives, every one of our lives from the moment we were born. That's what kind of blew me away. The Shemitah is the Sabbath year in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And that every 7 years, God said you will have a rest and there's no right. buying, no sowing, no reaping. And on the last day of the Shemitah, is the climax. It's called Elul 29. On that day, all debts are wiped out, all yeah. credits wiped out. It literally wipes the financial slate. It just completely clean. And the thing is, the amazing thing is that this mystery has continued into the modern times. It is so, operating.
Let me. What's the start date? How do you figure the start?
Of the Shemitah?
Of the cycle.
Okay, the cycle, well, it goes back from ancient times. Uh-huh. The rabbis have taken it even from the destruction of the temple.
Okay.
And so it's been so they know when it is. And it's observed in Israel all the time, continuously.
When did it start?
Well, the last one was 2007 and 2008.
Well, I mean, way, way back when.
At least from it comes from Moses. It comes from Mount Sinai.
Yeah.
I mean, and this was given to Israel. And in fact, this became, see, here's the thing, that this was to be a blessing. But when Israel turned away from God, mm-hmm. the Shemitah turns from a blessing to a sign of judgment on a nation that has driven God out of its life.
Well, you've got 7 years in the Shemitah, then you've got 49-50 years for
yes.
the Jubilee.
Yes. One of the mysteries in the book is called The Mystery of the Seventh Shemitah. When you get to the seven Shemitahs, you have a mega Shemitah, which is the Jubilee.
Okay.
And actually, even that is part of it, too, because there's one of the mysteries called The Mystery of the Seventh Shemitah that actually is linked to Israel and Jerusalem, even the return of Jerusalem.
Yeah.
And the next pattern of that is coming very shortly. We are actually at the beginning of a Shemitah very soon. In fact, this month, within 2 weeks, it
yeah.
begins. And the thing is that when Israel was destroyed in 586 BC,
right.
God said it was based on this thing called the Shemitah. They were in Babylon for 70 years
right.
based on the Shemitahs, the 70 years they didn't observe. So the Shemitah not only affects the financial realm, the economic mm-hmm. realm, but also literally is linked to the destruction of nations or the rise of nations.
Well, now, in your Harbinger, you showed clearly how the United States was tied into the Harbinger. I mean, there was no
yes.
question with all the various signs.
Yes.
How come the Shemitah affects the Gentiles instead of the Jews, or does it affect the whole world?
Yeah, well, it's not that. I would say the whole world. But, well, one, we're under the New Covenant, and we are not, the first thing is that literally God is able to use a biblical pattern to send a message to a nation, any nation.
Yeah.
Now America, well, actually the Shemitah affects America and affects the world. Let me give you an example.
All right.
If you look at the greatest financial collapses in modern times, I mean long-term, Great Depression, Great
yeah.
Recession, are any of them linked to the Shemitah? The answer is the majority of them. The majority of the collapses happen in the year of the Shemitah.
Like the crash of the Great Depression?
That one as well, yes, and the Great Recession. It's amazing. I'll give you another one. In the last 40 years,
yeah.
there have been five major financial collapses, long-term collapses,
right.
ups and downs. And every single one of them happens linked to the Shemitah. Every single one. Linked by this seven-year mystery. If you take, for instance, you take the greatest day crashes, single day crashes
yeah.
in Wall Street, and the percentage crashes, and there, do any of them happen at the time of, in the Shemitah, there's a month called Tishri, which, mm-hmm. Which that's the month when all these things are manifested. The majority of them happen all in this one month or cluster around this month, a majority of them. If you take, for instance, you notice, Pat, that financial analysts have been always puzzled that these great collapses seem to happen around October
That's
and
right.
September.
Yeah.
Well, they've been mystified. There's a reason. In the Bible, that is the exact time. It's the month of Tishri, which manifests this collapse in the Bible.
Well, you're supposed to you know, forgive debts.
Yes.
And people go back to their farms and all this kind of stuff. But that isn't a collapse, but the collapse is a sign of judgment. So how does that work?
Yeah, well, what happens is it was originally, again, it was a blessing. But what happened is that Israel pursued other gods and idols and a material gain. And God said, okay, now the Shemitah is going to come by force. So what happens is literally the nation is destroyed and literally the land rests. God says the land will rest because of the Shemitah. So what was meant to be a blessing turns into this sign of that it strikes the financial realm and literally wipes out accounts, because that's what happens with an economic collapse or a financial collapse. Yeah. The scary thing is that it seems to be getting more and more intense, because in 2000, the year 2001, comes the greatest point crash in American history. It was caused by 9/11, which we're getting to. And when does it happen? It happens on the exact Elul 29 day appointed in the Bible of the day of wiping out accounts appointed by God. That is a sign of a nation that has turned away from God. But that record lasts for 7 years. In 2008, it's finally broken by the other greatest collapse, the Great Recession.
Right.
Happens September 29th. When they go to Wall Street, they go to ring the bell refuses to ring that morning. Even Wall Street took it as a sign. Yeah. And you have the other greatest collapse in American history, 2008. When does it happen? On the exact same biblical day, Elul 29, the two greatest collapses in American history each happen on the day appointed in the Bible from ancient times, and they are separated by exactly 7 Hebrew years, the two down to the day, to the hour, to the minute, to the second. I mean, only God could put that together.
Are we going to have another 50 year anytime soon? You know, the Liberty Bell says proclaim liberty throughout the land.
That's from the Shemitah.
That's right.
And that's from the Jubilee. Yeah, well, the interesting thing is there's a link even with the restoration of the land of Israel, the Balfour Declaration, you know, because the Jubilee is about restoring the land.
Right.
And so that happens right at the time of the Shemitah, and then if you go 50 years later, or you go 7 Shemitahs later, you have Jerusalem. You have the restoration of Jerusalem.
Okay.
And now I'm not right. setting dates. And the book has dates, but God can do it. But the next Shemitah starts this September. The peak is next September. It always builds up to a thing. And then the 50 year period, what would be the Jubilee would be 2016. We begin at the end of the September of 2015.
Will that signal a collapse, an economic collapse first?
I believe, I'm careful about date setting, the point is I do believe we need to be ready, because if you go by the last two, it happened exactly, I mean down to the seconds.
Yeah.
So I believe, well, first of all, it's going to be, well, this is the verse. I believe whenever it comes, I believe a great shaking is coming to this nation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the harbinger is converging to it. The harbingers are continuing. This is, I believe, a great shaking that will involve the financial realm, the economic realm. It will even touch more than that. It can happen. I mean, the exact dates are in September of 2015, And the other thing is that the Shemitah not only involves these realms, but also involves the rise of nations, including America. Mm-hmm. For instance, the Shemitah of 1917, America begins its rise, enters World War I.
Right.
The world history shifts from Europe to America. You have, the Shemitah in Hebrew means collapse and fall. So, and also it can mean a rise. So you have the beginning of the rise of America. You have collapse of other nations. If you go 4 Shemitahs later, you get to the Shemitah of 1945. Another global shaking, cataclysm, and you have Europe falling, America becomes the superpower, we enter a new age.
Right.
If you go another 4 Shemitahs, it comes to another pivotal year, which is 1973, which is when America legalizes the killing of its unborn children. The financial realm collapses, and we lose our first war of Vietnam on the exact date that we won the war of World War II on the other Shemitah.
Incredible.
And if you go, and on that same year, you have the building of this monument to celebrate America, which is the World Trade Center. If you go another 4 Shemitahs, it takes you to 2001, the Shemitah of 2001, and which culminates in September of 2001. And the word means, remember, it means collapse.
Yeah.
You have the collapse of the towers that represent America's power, and you have the collapse of Wall Street. And so now we are heading to the next one. And so I do believe we should be ready. I do believe it is wise to prepare, because this thing has affected everything. Well,
this could be a global, you're talking about a global collapse in 2015?
Without setting dates, I believe if it follows the pattern, yeah, very likely. I believe no matter what, a great shaking is coming. But it could be, and another interesting, Pat, is kind of one of the things is, you know, the Bible speaks of the darkening of the sun. You know, it's a simple, yeah. Now, we're not saying that every time the sun is darkened, but interesting. In 2015, there will be two eclipses of the sun. Each one will mark the Shemitah. One will mark the exact middle center point of it, and the other will mark that Elul 29, the climax. The last time that happened, it was in 1987, when the solar eclipse happened on Elul 29. It led to Black Monday, the worst stock market.
I mean, huge collapse, 500 points of the Dow. Yeah.
Yeah. And then the other time it happened around the time was 1931, which when it happened, it ushered in the worst collapse of a month in stock market history. So all these things are converging. And, I mean, what it kind of says is, I mean, God is in charge. You know, God is in charge.
Well, you know, the amount of debt that's out there right now in the United States is hideous, and it's around the world. I mean, it's insupportable. And if something like that happened, I mean, it would be a collapse of such epic proportions, we can't contemplate it.
I absolutely. And one of the things I noticed, an economist came to me who saw what I wrote in The Mystery of the Shemitah and said, you realize that as the debt level of America goes up, that's when this phenomenon of the Shemitah increases, which is exactly biblical, because it wipes away debt. It wipes away credit, wipes away all these things. Whew. You know, it literally means collapse. And I believe, and I'll say something for those who are, like, nervous, you know, I would say, I mean, which some are.
You scared them to death. What do you mean?
Hopefully scare them to life. You know? But I would say that if you're afraid, you know, and say, well, safety, and I'm not a financial advisor, you know, but to say that in Hebrew, the word for safety is Yeshua. Mm. And Yeshua is Jesus. And the one safety I can say, make sure you're right with him. He is the only thing that stands and is not shaken. Yeah. And I believe that a shaking's coming, but also God is redemptive, that the point is revival. Because I believe without a shaking, I don't believe this nation is coming back, but with a shaking. So God also tells us that God is in control of everything, everything. I mean, mind-boggling so.
Well, if money is our God, which it has become, God will take down the false God, the true God, and show himself strong.
Exactly. I mean, one of the things that happens in the pattern of judgment in the Bible is that it strikes the gods of the nation, or what the nation puts its hope in it, to shake it so that we'd come back to God. And another thing is that there's one of the things in the book called The Mystery of the Towers. And we probably won't have time to get into it, but there's a link in the Bible between the rising of towers and the rising of nations and power. And the interesting, so we've got now, in 2001, you have the collapse of a tower. Well, now we're building this tower back in ground zero, which is one of the harbingers. And it looks like, the World Trade Center was conceived in the year of the Shemitah, 1945. It was begun building in the year of the Shemitah, 1966. Mm. It was finished the 1973 year of the Shemitah. It was destroyed 2001, the year of the Shemitah. The next tower, this tower that's rising, was also conceived in that last week of 2001 when the leader said, we shall rebuild. Right. And it looks like it may be completed in this year of the Shemitah. I would watch that because it's like the harbingers are converging with this other mystery of the Shemitah. It's saying really, God is God. God is God.
Jonathan, it's an exciting thing. Ladies and gentlemen, I won't take any more out of what he's got in this book, but it's The Mystery of the Shemitah. He goes into great detail about the building of towers, the Chrysler Building and the other buildings that were evidence of the strength of America and then the destruction of the World Trade Center. Fascinating, fascinating. You really believe this is going to happen?
I believe no matter what, I mean, that's what I would say. The one thing is, I believe we are due for a great shaking, and we should be ready. Now, does it have to happen? Does God have to do it according to the timing? He doesn't. But I would say, you know, it says a wise man prepares. Yeah. I would be ready.
Well, if we can have revival, that's what we want. Jonathan, we appreciate it. Ladies and gentlemen, The Mystery of the Shemitah. How do you get this? Is this out now?
This just came out last week. Right. And it seems like this is the first interview I've done since the release, because I was sick. So this is the first one. It's always the 700 Club. This is available everywhere, Amazon, Walmart, all around. It just came out. On the day it came out, it became the number 5 book in the world, on the planet. And it's actually going stronger than the Harbinger. So well, it's going forward.
I believe, we introduced the Harbinger.
Yes, yep. It was September 3rd. That was the release date. You didn't know it, but you just said do it on September 3rd.
Maybe this is prophetic again.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so.
Jonathan,
I think so.
I love you. I appreciate
I love you, too.
Man.
Thank you, Pat.
God. On the day it's released, the number five book in the world makes me think of Exodus 20:30. You shall have no other gods before me. God is a jealous God, and anything that we lift up as an idol will be taken down. Mm-hmm. And when we get back from this break, we're going to talk about some of the prophetic words the Lord has even given to us regarding the financial collapse and things that are coming in our near future, lest something changes, lest the church repents. But this is what God is just showing, and it's amazing to see the chorus of words that are all kind of converging at this one moment. More we get right back from this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Understand this. If you don't abide with the Lord, now is a time. Of all the times and all the history of this nation, now is the time to begin to abide.
No doubt.
While you have time. And if you don't know how to do it, we have a plan for you at iabide.org. iabide.org. It's a simple plan. I mean, you can do it with a crayon and a piece of paper, but you need to believe me, because any kind of hireling you might have been following is going to panic and run. He says, this is what Jesus said. When they see trouble, they panic and run because they never cared about the sheep in the first place. And if they don't know your name, you know what I'm saying? If they don't, if they, you haven't, you know, if y'all don't know each other, it may be the fact they don't not care about you. They don't even know who you are. You need to get to someone who knows your name and get close. And that normally happens in the context of a smaller gathering. So if you're in a large gathering of believers, I encourage you, you know, start. In addition to that, you know, get in together in like a home group or something, or a small gathering, a coffee shop, and build vital relationships with a few other believers. And you can fundamentally transform who you are. And even that large gathering where there's everybody's in smaller groups. Cause I remember in New Orleans, you know, when Hurricane Katrina hit, that, these large gatherings scattered everywhere and nobody knew anybody. You know what I'm saying? The database has gone. It's wet.
Right.
You know, the computer don't work. They're in Houston. They're in Louisiana. They're in Mississippi. We're taking people in Pensacola. And this is what our friend said, Leo DeJesus, who lives right across the Mississippi there from New Orleans. He has an office that looks right over the Mississippi at the Superdome.
Yeah.
And that's on.
Yeah, that's cool.
He saw some stuff. Actually, that got built after Katrina. And although he did live there, but that kind of went away because I saw the river. But he said that when the hurricane hit, it scattered the church all over New Orleans. And she's still scattered today. She's still scattered today. And that's what happens because, see, if you had shepherds, you may be scattered, but eventually your shepherd is going to find you because they know you. Mm-hmm. They know who you are. I mean, unless you're avoiding and running and eluding them, you're going to find each other.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And so, but he says they're still scattered today. And I'll give a big shout out to Leo Jesus and Sandy. Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. Sister Sandy and Brother Leo.
Yeah.
Great, great couple. She's like, get in, how did you know that? And we met her. She was working in a flower pot. And
literally.
And Ants, Vines, and Flower Pots is a real good book to be able to get from Charles Simpson to begin to really think about this. Listen, it is time to do what you got to do what God's called you to do. This present day situation is being fundamentally transformed. And I really believe it already has been. Now it's just a matter of flipping a few switches to be able to take it there. And, but the church will survive if we understand how we're to operate. And, if we need a manual, we got one. It's called the Bible.
Right.
It's the Bible, and it's called, we call it abiding with God, which is spending time with him, hiding his word in our heart, talking to God, listening to what he says, and just doing it.
You're listening to VFN Radio. where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm John Ramos, and welcome back, Pat and Steve. We're getting ready to talk about the Shemitah. A little chilly in here in the studio today, but we can make it. We can make it.
You'll be all right.
Yeah, I'll be all right. Exodus 23, you shall have no other gods before me. And you're looking at what Jonathan Cahn is describing as a financial collapse, a resetting, if you will, something that was started to be a blessing, well, turned into a curse because nations turned their back on God. And my goodness, are we not seeing that right now?
Yeah.
And it gets me to think about some of the things that the Lord has showed us. I think about the prophetic vision that Greg saw when he saw all the paper money being sucked up from the earth, and it was like a funnel. It was formed like a mountain, and then all of a sudden, all the money starts burning up. And I was like, well, that's interesting. That's interesting. And I think about the dream that the Lord gave me regarding in the stock market, when the reporter says that the world, as you know, it's going to be over in 6 minutes. I'm headed to work. I'm in this dream, and I'm going past a group of fellow colleagues that are sitting around, actually standing around a television screen, and the reporter's about to break news. He's about to break news. And he's standing on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange. And all the stockbrokers are all standing still, and which I thought was pretty remarkable because my dad was a stock market. So, I'm seeing this. I'm realizing something's different. You know, something's happening here.
You don't see it sitting still like that.
Exactly. Never stay still. And the reporter says, in just a few minutes, I'm about to share something, but I don't want you to panic. And when he said that, In the dream, I already knew what he was about to share. And so I go quickly to get my things at my desk as I'm getting ready to leave. And as I'm getting ready to walk past, he's getting ready to share now what he's about to share. And he says, the world as you know it is going to be over in 6 minutes.
Wow.
In 6 minutes. And the number six means idol. That's what it means. It means an idol. And so it's like, wow, right there from the place where America has made, you know, a god, an idol, money from the stock market, from the stock market represents money, it's going to be over as we know it. And then, you know, start telling everyone, go to the torch, go to BFNTV.com. And this is what we've been doing. We've been kind of sharing about, listen, this is what God is showing us. But then I think about Rick Joyner not too long ago, about maybe 2 years ago, was talking about a financial reset that the Lord showed him. He actually used the word collapse, and he was kind of a little bit hesitant, and he was kind of like, well, I think it could be a collapse, and it looks like there's going to be a financial reset. He said, start all over. And this was a couple of years ago. And then now, most recently, in the month of July, they took the whole month as a sabbatical, and the Lord showed him some very interesting things that we're going to be covering here soon. Stay tuned this week to VFN TV because we're going to be sharing some really just amazing things the Lord has made available to us. But one of the things that he shares is regarding how the Lord showed him the world is about to go through hell. That's what Rick Joyner says. Yet it's going to be some of the worst of times and some of the best of times. And we want to encourage you that, listen, if you are participating in God's economy, if you are participating in what the Lord has established, you are going to be okay. It's not a time for the church to be fretful. Mm-hmm. It's not a time for us to be biting our fingernails and scared. Right. Like a pastor said, scare them to life. They're not scared to death, scared to life. Because the only safety net, everything that can be shaken will be shaken. And the only safety net that anyone has is Jesus. Jesus will not be shaken. And so we want to encourage you to now more than ever, the way that Jonathan Cahn sees it and how it's been revealed to him is that this we're going to crescendo next year in the month of September. And I can't help to think how all of this coincides and all again converges with we're right in the 15-month period of the four blood moons, Is it 15 or
total?
18 months?
18 months.
18
yeah.
months mm-hmm. of the four blood moons. This is right there in the middle
climax.
Of it.
Yep.
And I want to tell you, listen, it's not a time to be fretful. But it's a time to, listen, if Jesus is not Lord, this is the time to make him the Lord of your life and to honor him with what he's given you.
Mm-hmm. And it's so powerful, too, because, you know, what Jonathan Cahn was saying is just that, you know, God is in control and God is able to get a message out to a nation, and God is speaking. And I think what is so encouraging about that is, you know, what would you say to those who, you know, who are fearful and, you know, biting their fingernails? And it's so powerful what he said. He's like, in Hebrew, the word safety is Yeshua. Mm. And it's like you hear all these words and you hear about what we're talking about and you hear about the prophetic dreams. And it's just like God is speaking to you right now. It's like if you're listening, it's not an accident that you're listening to this. It's like God wants you to be part of his economy, like you're talking about, John. And it's just like when we see these disasters, when we flip on the news channel, we can very quickly see things horizontally. But God has a purpose for this. And when we begin to look at it vertically, and it's just like, God, what are you doing with this? And it's just like God's wanting to clean house. God's wanting to bring purity back to the bride for his son, because all of this is for a church that's going to be presented to his son.
Yeah.
And God has a purpose for this. And it's just like, oh my goodness, God is speaking to me. And just like you're saying, it's just like, this is not a time to really get fretful or just, you know, fearful. But it's just like, this is God.
Yeah.
This is, God has something greater that's going on than what we can see horizontally.
Sure. And it's also the time to let those that we know, friends, family, neighbors, that don't know God, and to warn them of the things that are about to come, so that they can get a realization of, hey, listen, God is real. Mm-hmm. Things are not going to go on as usual. And I think a lot of times people get caught up in just what's happening, and they think that because they don't see an immediate judgment upon their sin in their life, they don't see the consequences necessarily immediate, that God's winking at what's happening, or God forgot, or God's overlooking, or even weirder still, that they have some sort of special agreement with God that God will overlook what's going on. And God doesn't overlook anything. Don't mistake God's patience with the fact that he's closed his eyes. His patience is his love for you, giving you time to repent, giving you time to turn. And what I've experienced is that at the time of when judgment comes, a lot of times people are not focusing. They miss the fact that this was judgment. They go into survival mode. And so, you know, devastation comes, tornado, what have you. And maybe in that case, it happened to do with a judgment, let's say, in their life. They quickly forget about, you know, they never ask the question, it appears, sometimes, like, did I do anything to bring this upon, or did I? It's always something else, or they write it off. And I think a healthy question is to ask, hey, did I participate in this? Did I do anything that could cause this to happen? And we can search our hearts now and say, hey, listen, I want to get it right. But also, it's important to recognize and to pray that out of a tragedy, that out of something that could look on the surface as a horrible thing, we can turn to God and believe for an awesome third great awakening, a revival that will sweep not only the country but the world. Listen, we are poised. We are desperately needing a move of God like never before. And this is a perfect opportunity for one.
That's right.
I mean, there's always, you know,
if there ever was one.
Yeah, exactly. Every day's a good day for a move of God, you know. But if there ever was a moment, our nation really needs God, and it's going to be his mercy that pours an outpouring out upon us. And that's been prophesied and shared too. So, again, some of the best of times, some of the worst of times, and you want to be right when those times come. You know, we want to encourage you also that to get prudent preparation. You want to be wise. You want to prepare for these things. You want to prepare financially. You want to prepare physically, because the Lord shows it's going to be a physical battle. You want to prepare mentally and emotionally for the things that you will be facing. Mm-hmm. But most importantly, you want to prepare spiritually. And you got to ask the question to yourself. I love what the Bible says in the book of Proverbs. He who is wise, a wise man, a wise woman, gives thought to their ways. You got to ask yourself, where am I today? if it was all said and done, and today was my last day, where would I spend eternity? Mm-hmm. Where would I spend eternity? And I think for many people, especially in this country, the United States, have taken their eyes off of God and have put their mm-hmm. eyes on themselves and on money and the things that money can get them. And I want to tell you that today is a great day to say, you know what? I'm going to put my eyes back on the Lord. This stuff doesn't satisfy. I am away from God. I need him, and I want to make him the Lord of my life. I want to encourage you to do that today. More when we get right back from this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. 3 convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
The $50 I Guy here with some eye-tastic news. Now, 2 locations to better serve you, so when buying your next pair of eyeglasses,
come see my dad, the $50 I Guy.
Pat, you know the great thing about all of our VFN radio listeners is that so many of them are connecting to us on Facebook. You know, we have a Facebook page. You may be listening today. You may not be aware, but we do. And you can go to facebook.com/VFNTV, or you can go to our VFNTV.com and click Facebook. Be a part. Like us. Tell your friends to like us. We're creating a virtual stadium where everyone can connect and be a part and get fresh updates on everything that happens that day on the program. Don't forget, go to VFNTV.com and click Facebook.
Well, I just want to say right up front that Donna was out shopping and she got a Saints jersey.
Oh, wow.
A Saints jersey. That's a football team, not hockey. And
does she need something to mop up the floor?
No, thing about it was, you know, if you study the archaeological digs around New Orleans, you'll find out they did win once.
Did they?
They did. Okay. And it must be over because she found it in somebody's garage brand new for $1.
$1.
Do you remember the day that those things were so high? It was like,
wow.
These were just like,
oh, yeah.
These were like stuffing, you know, for your, like, place the peanut thing. And so, of course, I'm like, she says, like, I got to give this to Pat. And I'm thinking, you got to give that to Pat? I'm going to sleep in it. And I had a dream.
Was it a scary dream? Was it a scary dream?
They just lost again.
Okay. I don't know what
it was.
Okay.
It wasn't. Really, there wasn't a dream. Nothing happened as usual. But I can't believe $1. It's going for $1 now.
Wow. I never come across that.
I said, baby, if you ever run into another one, get it.
Yeah,
get it.
Because hook your
brother up. They will quit printing them after a while.
Yeah.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT. Light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining us back from the break is Pat and Steve. I mean, a little technical thing there, but we want to encourage you to make sure that you catch all of our highlights. If you have not downloaded the app, we want to encourage you, go to Google Play Store or go to your Apple iTunes Store and download VFN TV. You can take VFN TV on the go with you, and you'll have all the highlights. You'll have everything with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in any location. We like to say, hey, man, got it on the go. Steve, talk to us. I know you're talking about equipping of the saints and beholding Jesus.
Yeah. I'm just really encouraged. You know, we've talked about before just many discussions about Rick Joyner and his book, The Harvest, and it is just so, it's so deep, and it's just like you can, you know, the the things that we're seeing now, you know, we've talked about before, it's like it was written 25 years ago, but at the same time, too, it's so powerful and such a timely word for the church and such a timely word for the body of Christ. You know, we're seeing so much hecticness and you know, just the chaos around the world. And it really causes us and exposes us to realize and question, you know, what are our eyes upon? What do we focus upon? And what I just really see in these moments is just thinking about Peter in the Gospels. And, you know, when he was in the heart, when he was in the storm, he was able to stand on the waves when his eyes were fixated upon Jesus. But when he began to look at his situation, that's when he began to sink. And that's
standing on the water. Right?
I'm standing on the water. And that's so applicable to where we are now, because it's just like our eyes have got to remain upon Jesus. And it's so important because, you know, in reading in Rick's book, The Harvest, he talks about it. He's got a chapter talking about equipping the saints. And it's just like when we understand who Jesus is, I mean, that's really when we'll begin to just grow. And what he says, there's been a fundamental deception promulgated throughout the body of Christ, which has tried to focus our attention on who we are in Christ instead of who he is in us.
Mm.
He says we don't need to know who we are in him, but when that becomes our emphasis, we'll never really know who we're called to be. We're not changed by seeing ourselves. It's by beholding his glory that we're changed into his image, which is the image the church is called to bear.
Wow.
And that is just really, that just really rocks you, because you think about it and you read in Revelations how John has that encounter with, you know, the revelation of God and the throne room of God and just beholding that. And I think about that and it's just like when you really get caught up in that vision, you really get caught up in thinking about the throne room of God. In that encounter of what John sees, God's not saying anything.
Mm.
Just his glory and his radiance is being focused on. His glory is just being, he's being praised. And it's just like, when we have that understanding of just focusing on God and on his throne room and beholding who Jesus is, we begin to become like him. And it's like, that's when transformation truly begins. Because it's like, I think about those own moments in my life. You know, I think about, you know, when I was younger, I had a motorcycle. And when you're going through driving training and you're learning how to ride, they teach you how to ride it. Because a lot of times, too, you can get so focused on where you're already heading. If you, like, for example, like if you're making a turn and you're about to hit a stop sign, if you focus on where you don't want to go, that's where you're going to go.
Mm.
And it takes some time to realize, and you got to really change your thinking that if you want to turn left, even though you're headed straight, you got to turn where you're not headed, and then the bike's going to go. And that's so powerful too, because you might see yourself in a storm and it's like, you can't focus on the storm. You got to keep your eyes focused on the cross. You got to keep your eyes focused on the character of Jesus, because I want to become like Jesus. And it's like, when we keep focused on that, we're going to become like that. And I even think about how God has spoken to me through my years of just walking with him. Some of those moments when I had the greatest transformation, or just, you know, when God just shows me the deepest part of my heart and I'm like, where did that come from?
Mm-hmm.
But it's when I'm so fixated on him, I'm so hungry to do something for him, just to be with him. That's when God does the greatest works in our own hearts to make us more like him. And that's such a timely word for where we are now as the church, because we're seeing our eyes just diverted to the shiny objects on the left and the right and this nation and that nation and what's going on. But it's just like, but what about Jesus? What is Jesus saying to you? When you close your eyes and you imagine the person of Jesus, you imagine the heart of Jesus, what do you see?
Mm-hmm.
Do you see his character? Do you see his likeness? Do you see his humility? And it's like, when we begin to focus on that, that's when it's really going to just move and just be so focused on that. And I think about, too, we've talked about it before, that when the evangelist Steve Hill passed away, there's a funeral. And God, that was such a pivotal transition, because I thought about that and I looked at someone who lived their life completely for knowing that they're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. They lived their life for eternity. And it was such a like a call of what God was saying to me. It's just like, let's do this. Let's do it all. Let's lay it all down. And I could literally feel the Holy Spirit working, because you can feel in your heart, you can feel in your spirit when you're really fixated on Jesus. And it's like I saw, if you think about it, like a telescopic lens or like a camera. Mm-hmm. And it's like as it focuses, it just kind of like, you know, it does like the whole extension thing. But everything to the left and to the right, like you might be like a zoomed out picture, but when you're focused on like a distant target, all of the, you know, left and right, it just begins to fade away.
Mm-hmm.
And you become more focused on your target. And it's just like, that's what I just truly feel of what Rick's saying. It's like when we become so focused on who Jesus is, everything's going to begin to just fall to the wayside. And we're going to see the power of what the Holy Spirit wants to do in the body of Christ. And that's so encouraging, because I see that and it's like the storms are rising, but I can see those eyes just beginning to lift and focus on who Jesus is. And it's just like, this is that moment, this is that time to really put that emphasis on your abiding time, to really put that emphasis on what is Jesus saying to you right now. And it's just very, very encouraging moments, very encouraging times for the body of Christ right now.
That's good.
When we look at the fact that Peter was walking on the water, I mean, you know, people talk, they laugh at Peter because, you know, he sank, you know, and all that. But it's like, hello, there were other disciples in that boat too.
Yeah, he's the one that got out of the boat.
Yeah.
You know, he steps out the boat. If you tell me to come, I'll come. And he begins to walk on this water. Think about it. He begins to do something that is absolutely supernatural. I mean, in this physical world that we live in, you know, there are laws of nature, right? Gravity, what comes up must come down. You know what I'm saying? And you're not supposed to. You're not supposed to walk on water. However, he was in such a dimension with God. He was beholding God in such a way. He was outside of the limitations that the earth has.
Yeah.
And so many times I think we're so limited because we're trying to figure everything out about, you know, why we can or why this is not going to happen or this is the way it's supposed to be. You know, and we it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. We speak these words over ourselves and over other people, and then we get locked into a place where, oh, this is what's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And you're saying about beholding God, you know, viewing him and soaking in his presence and putting our eyes on Jesus. There's so many, like you said, shiny objects. There's so many things in this world to steal our attention, to steal our focus, our joy away from the one that we're supposed to be in love with. I don't understand a statement of someone ever saying, you know, well, they're being a Christian and them being bored. I don't understand that because we're invited to an adventure every day. And that's what the enemy tries to do, is tries to get us all stirred up and these other things to steal away the greatest joy that we have. And that's hanging out with the Lord.
The thing about what you said when you're talking about Peter is that he responded to a word that Jesus says, is if you call out to me, I'll come.
Mm-hmm.
But you think about that, and it's just like Peter was so attentive to what Jesus said. Now, granted, Peter walked with Jesus. He heard the actual audible voice of the man Jesus. But it's like we have the voice of Jesus. We have the word. And to me, it's like I feel like that's such a challenge and such a, you know, I don't want to say difficulty. Well, but it's just like when we get so attentive to what Jesus said and be like, you know what? Jesus said it. Jesus said it. And I know everything tries to come against and attack. And it's just like our faith in that. And what comes to mind, I think about Leonard Ravenhill. He said that one of these days, one simple soul is going to pick up the word of God and believe it and embarrass us all. Because it's just like when you have that simple childlike faith and just step on the word of God, when God says, hear this, believe this, I said this, and just move, I just feel that like God has such a place for the body of Christ to walk in that we're not currently walking, and that is beyond, like you're saying, our present understanding of the situation, that we're just going to rise above the situation. We're going to rise above the natural laws of our understanding and begin to walk with Christ, like Christ, because like he says, is like, greater things will you do. Mm-hmm. Greater things will you see. And it's just like, but that's going to come when we begin to behold him in who he is.
Yeah. And like you, and you started out with saying that, you know, so many people are looking for who Christ is, you know, who I am in Christ as opposed to who he is in me. Mm-hmm. You know, he is the hope of glory. Do we really understand? Do we really walk out with the understanding that, okay, my body is the temple. Mm-hmm. The Holy Spirit lives inside of me, right? And sometimes you're the only Jesus that, oftentimes you're the only Jesus that someone's going to see. Mm-hmm. So it's like God's inhabiting you. He's borrowing your mouth. He's borrowing your eyes, your hands. And if you will allow him and surrender yourself to him, the Father was in constant unity with, I mean, Jesus was in constant unity with the Father. Not my will, but your will be done. Not my plan, your plan be done. Not my words, God, your words, Father. Can we live in such a place, in such a state, and I believe we can, where we live in such unity with God that from the time that we wake up in the morning to the time that we go to sleep, we want to live a surrendered life that says, God, I want to see you in every situation. I want to be your hands. I want to be your eyes. I want to be your feet. And I want to give you permission to do whatever you want in me and through me, because I know that you want to touch the nations. I know that you want to touch people. Listen, the greatest thing that we can do is to share the love of God with somebody and to be God's conduit. We are plan A. He doesn't have a plan B. We can behold him. Keep your eyes focused on Jesus. Listen, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. For your joy is the risen Savior, the risen King. Make him the apple of your eye. You're already the apple of his eye. Do it today. We want to give special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless. I was just talking to my father, and he was, he and my, has, my sisters and I, we got them an iPad, and, you know, move them into the next level of technology.
Right.
And my mother was Skyping now.
Oh,
my
wow.
mother, yeah, she can Skype. She can Skype. As a matter of fact, I'm hoping to have mom on, have to do a conference call or something, and bring her on live. You would just, you know, everybody, you in the audience, you would just love to hear my mother. We just laugh and talk, and we've always had a great time. Mm-hmm. But anyway, they're listening to VFN TV and the VFN radio program, watching VFN TV and listening to the VFN radio program with their iPad.
Oh, wow.
They have an iPad, and they're able to do it because they went to the iTunes store and downloaded the application, because we have an application. We have an app for that.
Right.
We have an app for your iPad, we have an app for your iPhone, and we have an app for your Android. Mm-hmm. You just go to your app store and type in your search area of your app store, V as in Victor, VFN TV. There you go, is the app. Download it, and for free, you begin to listen not only to the live program, and it happens all day long on the loop as well, but all the archives and highlights. You think about it. If you miss a segment or somebody's talking to you about something, oh, man, I missed that, you can go that. With the app, you could go back and look to the highlights of that day and possibly the app, that particular highlights right there. In addition, you can get right to our VFN TV and Daily VFN Radio program Facebook. You can get to our the VFN TV blog right off your application. It has everything that you need available for you. As a matter of fact, those that are sowing into this ministry and giving, that you can even give right there on your application.
Wow.
It is so, so cool. I just want to say hey to Ma and hey, Dad. And all the moms and dads out there, listen, you can get VFN TV, the daily radio program, right there on your phone or your iPad or your Android or Apple. Just go to your app store and download it today.